Do you have a heavy metal related business? Do you promote concerts? Do you sell t-shirts, music, instruments, alternative lifestyle products? Then come advertise with us. Radioactive Metal is the perfect place to promote your business. Go to advertisecast.com/780 to see all of our advertising options.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial at www.audibletrial.com/radmetal. Over 150,000 titles to choose for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
What's up? This is Matt from Exhumed. You're listening to Radioactive Metal, so turn it up, dude.
Horns up, metalheads. This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, Kareem, and Aaron.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to a vengeful episode of Radioactive Metal. This is episode 476, and I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
I'm Kareem.
And this is Aaron.
Hey, bros and bra, what's going on?
I'm a little disappointed you did not invent a new word this week.
No, I didn't. But it's all going to come together as to why this is a vengeful episode, shall we say. Which is also, this is going to be a somewhat special episode for a couple reasons. Number one, we're now, as we speak, mid-October, the day after Friday the 13th. Even, shall we say. And that is going to be, you know, of some significance when we get into tonight's creature feature. And not only that, of course, that makes it the Halloween season as well. Okay, so that always brings great joy and warmth to my heart. But mid-October, though, also means dun, 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 happy birthday to us. Tonight's episode. I want to say hello, horns up, and congratulations to you three for this is it. This is our 11th anniversary episode. We've been around on the good side of a decade now, so
happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my
honestly never thought, like, when myself and my first co-host, when we started this way back, well, 11 years ago, I didn't even know what a podcast was.
You, like, and most people.
He just came up and said, I want to do this podcast. You know lots about metal, and, like, well, yeah, you know that. Of course I do. And do you think you would be able to speak and talk like a radio show? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Like, you know, okay. And I was a little apprehensive at first, but then we sat down and we just did it. And it's like, okay, I can do this. This is really cool. 11 years later, I never thought we were going to get this far and just accomplish what we have, and everyone that we've spoken to and just had just a grand old time with. So,
And you had no idea you work with three fantastic people.
Which is exactly what I wanted to get to. But first and foremost, I want to say hello and thank you to every beautiful motherfucker, whether you've listened to one episode or all 476 episodes. I want to thank you, and we really appreciate all your support and inviting us into your life every week. I think that's so awesome. And of course, this show is nothing without you three beautiful people as well, just for coming in, doing all that you do and all that, like Radioactive Metal, it just can't happen without you guys. So I just want to thank you so much. And I'm so excited that not only are you a part of this, but you are a part of my life, a big part of it. Aww. So thank you so much, you guys.
Aww.
Yeah,
guys, should we say the same to Snowy, or do we not care?
Not really, no. Don't worry about it.
yeah right, okay, move on.
with you guys, it's just putting up with me, like, that's
pretty much.
Which I kind of like that. That's cool. Speaking about October, Kareen.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I didn't hear from you whether or not you were doing this with me, but it is the month of October, and it is a tradition not only on this show, but within the White House as well, that I like to watch 31 horror movies in the month of October leading up to Halloween. Okay, you told me that you accepted the challenge to do this with me. Uh-huh, and I said, well, you're a pretty busy girl. I understand. And it takes a lot. So I'm just kind of curious where you're at with that. Or did you accept my challenge? Or, like, where are you?
I accepted the challenge. And I'll let you know that, no, I haven't started the challenge.
But wait. When did you see the movie It? Was it in October?
I don't think so.
That was in September? Because it doesn't seem like it was that long ago.
I think that came out before October.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's been out longer than 2 weeks.
I was trying to help her.
I know, but let's hope she had one. Well, anyways, as we speak, as I said earlier, it's Saturday the 14th. I'm a little behind myself. I've only got 12 films in the month of October.
That's not bad. But, yeah.
Not bad. I'm a little behind, and it's a Saturday night that I'm staying home tonight, so maybe after we're done this, Mrs. White and I will sit down and we'll get a couple in tonight.
And as you're watching these, maybe you should go on Facebook and share which ones you've watched.
I was wondering.
That's
yes,
a great idea.
I know I'm supposed to do that, and I just, when it comes to Facebooking, I just kind of suck at it.
I'm so calling you out.
You got to do that. Yeah. So maybe while I'm participating in this tonight, that would be a good opportunity to actually do that.
Yeah, because it seems like every year you do watch some movies you've already seen. So, I mean, it'd be simple for you to do that while you're watching one you've already seen, and you don't have to pay that much attention to it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, every Halloween around this time, there's always going to be like a movie that I absolutely must watch in the month of October. So, yeah, you're absolutely correct.
Cool.
You're absolutely correct. So,
Snowy, are you gonna check out Death Day that opened yesterday?
I know what it is. Whether or not I get to it this month, I do not know, but it looks interesting.
Yeah, it piqued my interest, man. It was looking pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It looks fairly lightweight. Okay, so you should be able to sit through it, yeah?
I say that's my speed.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, it's probably nothing too heavy duty and all that, so yeah. I don't imagine, like, brutal gore is your thing.
It's not. Not that I haven't watched it, but it's just not my thing. I have zero desire to do it again.
Yeah. Well, this is probably, that's probably something that you can enjoy. It's good for the chicks. It's a good date movie.
Okay.
but not only is this not just good for the chicks, but it's good for everyone, and that is our metal fix.
And what cool shit did we do this week? Find out in our metal fix.
Okay, someone speak. Who did what, when, where, and how, and why?
Well, all right then. So I have been obsessed with the Dean Del Rey podcast.
Oh, good.
I have been going through the back catalog. I was listening to the one with, I'm totally blanking, Metal Blade Records.
Brian Slagle.
Thank you, Brian Slagle. because he was talking about his book, and they're talking about how streaming's actually making an upswing now for, you know, income streams.
Yep.
And that was really interesting. I went and listened to my favorite so far, the one with Wes Borland of Limp Bizkit. Mm-hmm. Like, I still cannot stand Fred Durst. Like, I went and tried to watch Limp Bizkit on YouTube, just some of the shows. I love Wes Borland. I cannot stand Fred Durst. He is everything I hated about the 90s, just in one package.
Yep, one person.
Yeah, just one person. Everything I absolutely hated about the 90s, just embodied in one person.
But, I mean, you just don't want to live. Oh, no, wait, sorry, that was one more fight.
Well, I mean, the problem is, it's all about the he said, she said bullshit.
Oh, it's all about the he said, she said bullshit. You better quit talking that shit. Oh, you've been living with a fat lip.
Oh, boy.
But that song comes on my jam to it.
I still maintain that the first record was just absolute fucking genius. Like, I love the first Limp Bizkit record, but that was a hell of a discussion between those guys. Just because I've always really appreciated Wes Borland as a guitarist and musician. He was always just doing crazy stuff, and he's still doing crazy stuff, man. He's doing some wild ass shit. And then let's see here. Then I was listening to Slim Jim Phantom, drummer from the Stray Cats. And I mean, that dude, man, like, I had no idea how entrenched he was in the metal scene. Him and Lem were like best buds, like, for,
they
like,
were the Hep Cats or something.
The Hep Cats. I knew they played together, but I didn't realize, you know, that it was more than just, hey, you know, like let's cut some tracks. Like, they, you know, seriously hung out. And then the one I'm still on right now is the one with Nikki Sixx. And,
oh, yeah.
And, you know, he's an amazingly level-headed guy for all the shit that's happened in Motley Crue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and he's like, yeah, he's like, I'm 58. I'm like, oh, my goodness. How did you make it to 58?
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know how they got out of their 20s, to be honest.
Yeah. And honestly, if you ask him, neither does he.
Yeah, did you guys read his book, The Heroin Diaries?
No. I need to.
No, really should.
Yeah, you should. It's a good read, man. It's intense.
I read the other one.
The Dirt?
The Whiskey, yeah.
Yeah, you had the whiskey bottle on it. Yeah, The Dirt. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a good one too, yeah.
That one's really good, yeah. I
read them one behind the other.
I'm actually kind of surprised. A couple episodes ago, during our Varg Effect episodes, when we were talking about, like, what would turn you off of a band and all that, not one of us mentioned that Vince Neil killed a guy, really, for all intents and purposes. It was an accident, but I remember that when we lost Razzle.
Like, when it was, so first of all, I still to this day have no idea who Razzle was. And everybody talks about Razzle like he was some huge rock star, like he was, you know, like whatever the biggest band was at the time he died. People talk about him like he was the front man of that band. Never heard of him. Okay. And mm-hmm. I'm not trying to make light of it, but at the same time, it's like the news wasn't what the news is today. Things aren't connected. Like, by the time stuff came out about, you know, the car accident, he'd already served time and, you know, been in prison, gone through trials, but by the time we were hearing about it.
No, I don't know. I kind of remember things a little bit different. Yeah, you're absolutely right. There was no internet and all that, but man, like, we heard about it right away. We're like, man, you hear that? Like, Vince Neil, he did this and that, and the drummer of Hanoi Rocks died, and it's like, holy shit.
And I was like,
I understand what you're saying. I knew who Hanoi Rocks was.
I knew who they were, but I was Razzle? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't know the name of the drummer. And I don't mean to get us off on a tangent here, but no, like, I knew who Hanoi Rocks was. But that's a type of band that you have to be fully immersed into the hard music, the hard rock, the metal scene. Well, basically the metal scene, because the only people buying Hanoi Rocks records back then, and I never thought when I woke up this morning we would be talking about Hanoi Rocks, but they were the type of band that you had to be into the hard rock scene in order to know who they were. Mm-hmm. But they definitely had their following, particularly in Europe.
Yep.
I love their cover of Up Around the Bend.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
You cannot murder a good song like that, no matter how hard you try. that will always be that will always be a kick-ass tune. Sorry to drag us off there. What else you got?
No, that's pretty much it, man. Just like I'm just obsessed with this podcast. It has been a blast, and I'm trying to figure out like what, because he keeps talking about being on tour. I can't find shit on bands that he's played with.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to look it up, and then I can't remember. But it, like I told you last week, they're fairly well known. The band, the main band he was in. But it wasn't a huge band, but it wasn't like some rinky-dink garage band either, you know.
Man, I got to figure this out. But then what was the other thing? Oh, have you guys watched any of his stand-up?
No, I haven't.
Shit, it's funny.
Oh, yeah?
It's really – yeah. He's pretty damn funny because I was looking for other stuff. And then he came up. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll actually watch the stand-up. It was some funny stuff, man. It was really good.
I'll have to check it out.
Why not? Me too. Who's up? Cree, what's going on?
I don't have anything.
Okay. And that is fine.
I've been listening to The Flash of the Blade by Iron Maiden.
Great song.
That song is fucking awesome.
Now imagine listening to that when it came out in 84.
You know what? I do have a metal fix.
I should hope so.
Okay, let me tell you guys something. I'm a little upset.
Oh, uh-oh. That's right. Yes.
Yeah, now what did I do? Let me tell you. I'm glad you brought this up because I've had this on my chest all week. I've been really upset about it.
Uh-oh.
Just kind of got to get this off. So I was ready, guys. I was ready. I had the hotel booked. I had the party, everything planned out. I was going to bring my own booze to the hotel room at Hard Rock in Tampa to rock out with my non-existent cock out. If I can say that right.
This is the internet.
I cannot believe that Scorpions canceled their tour with Megadeth and canceled the whole there. The whole show last week.
Yeah. Sorry, pal. That sucks.
Dude, it sucks major dick because I had planned this out months ago. Okay, when I mean months, I mean months. Mm-hmm. And what I did is I booked that hotel, the Hard Rock Hotel. I would never do it again because it's ridiculously expensive. But I did it because it was super close to Megadeth. And I was going to stay there. And I was going to party, take an Uber or a Lyft, and go party it up at the concert, do like another rendition of like Heavy Metal Garage or
Heavy Metal Parking Lot.
Yeah, Heavy Metal Parking Lot. Go rock out, go back to Hard Rock, party some more, didn't have to work the next day, and pass out somewhere probably in a stripper's... God knows what, but I was so upset. No, I cannot tell you how badly I wanted to see Megadeth. And despite all of that crazy shit that happened in 1 week, this literally happened in 1 week. Despite all of that happening, Yes, who replied to me on Twitter when I said, damn, I'm so sad that I will not be able to see you guys.
Justin Bieber.
Uh-oh. Someone from the Scorps?
No. Rock knows.
Yeah, I'm smiling.
We all know. You posted it in the group.
Look, Dave Mustaine.
Mustaine?
He is a Mustaine.
I see. Now I've got a new dad joke. What do you call a heavy metal cow? Dave Mustaine.
Oh, God.
Yes. Bad joke.
You know, Aaron, I just said all of that really nice stuff with you about you at the top of the show, and then you just got to ruin it with a bad joke.
Nobody told you had to lie.
Come on.
So what did Dave Mustaine tell you?
Dave Mustaine.
Dave Zumustaine.
Dave Mustaine. Hey. So he replied, back, guys. He actually replied to me and he said, yeah, me too.
You added a word actually, there. You added a word. Yeah. There was only two words.
I was going to say, I added an extra word. Okay. I read 140 characters or less, and Dave Mustaine replied, me too.
Five characters.
That's when I knew that Dave Mustaine and I were going to be the best of friends because Rock has already established it. That's it. He said two words to me, and it completely made up for all of the bullshit in the past week.
Well, that was hilarious because we have this little group text thing that we do, and you were like you were telling us how disappointed you were, and I could feel your pain, you know, because I know how bad you want to see Megadeth. And then like 5 minutes later, he's like, guys, oh my god. He replied to me, and you post a screenshot, and it says, the answer is, me too. No exclamation point, no, like, it's just, me too. Five characters. I'm like, wow, you are best buds now.
Listen, reply.
That's cool, though. That's cool. That he actually saw it. Yeah, that's cool. Because that guy gets tweeted so much that, you know, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I really liked about it is that my tweet to him was the top on his list for like 3 hours.
Oh, wow.
And after my tweet, below that was him trying to throw an insult at somebody who told him that he didn't write certain songs for Metallica. And he was like, hey, bud.
Oh, my God. Are people still talking about that?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, God, it's time to move on.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I didn't realize anybody's giving him crap about it. I mean, he's had the credits for on their albums for years. Like,
what, yeah. Like, it's
like what? Who's disputing what? You know?
Like, they said that he didn't do, like, the Four Horsemen.
Oh, whatever.
The guy was like, yeah, you can't argue the truth. And the guy was like, hey, bud. And then he went off. He goes, I wrote all those lyrics and blah, blah, blah. I can't recall the whole tweet. And then he says something like, go home to your mama and grab your binky. And I was like, what the fuck?
Okay, wow. I like that one. That's pretty funny.
Go home to your mama and grab your binky. I was like, is that really the best insult you could come up with?
You know, he's a busy guy.
That shit was, hilarious. Arguing with people on the internet is like talking to the wall. Like,
you know,
like don't even bother because it's just
it cracks me up because you know, like Dave Mustaine will be tweeting something like, just an example. It's like, I had ice cream today, okay, but then somebody under it's like, you suck. You never you can't write a song. Yeah. I'm like, what does that have to do with ice cream?
But I just
you know, like, it's like. Yeah.
But, oh yeah, I bet Lars made that ice cream for you.
That's right. That Lars, that pussy ass bitch.
Oh, it's just my god. It's, you know, something totally irrelevant, and you know the people will reply to. Oh god,
That guy's day. Yeah, I got into it on the internet with Dave Mustaine. Yeah. I showed him.
It's
like, oh my god,
it's the Mustaine.
Oh.
Not to be confused with the Mustang, which is normally hung. Zing.
I was thinking of the car.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, right, okay.
Yeah. Like a horse, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, is it my turn now? Are you done?
Yes, please.
Sorry.
That's okay. That was fun, actually. real quick, it's not really metal related, but it will be relevant pretty soon. I went to a NXT wrestling show last night with my friends.
Oh, right on.
And one of the matches was a women's match, and one of the wrestlers was Nikki Cross. Now, this is kind of relevant because her group, Sanity, they come out to the metal music and they got the metal look and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But my friend who I was with, he really likes her. He thinks she's really cute and he really likes her. He's single, you know. So she comes out for her match, her music's playing, and the way she's dressed, you know, in like tattered clothes, you know, she's got this this hoodie that she's wearing on her head with sunglasses and then a bandana up on her face, you know, so you can't see her face at all. So she's coming out real slow, the music's playing, and she comes on our side. We were front row. So she comes on our side. She kind of looks at me. You know, she's like 2 feet away from me, you know. She looks at me, and then my buddy had a few drinks, okay? So he's kind of grooving to the song, and he really likes her, like I said. So he's grooving to the song. You know, she stops and looks at him. He's wearing a T-shirt of her wrestling group, Sanity, okay? He has a T-shirt on. Mm-hmm. So she looks at him, and then he blows a kiss at her. Oh. and she goes, and she makes that noise, because you know, for anybody who follows wrestling in NXT, she's like a rabid chihuahua. Her character, she runs around, she bites the rope. We call her the rabid chihuahua because she runs around, she grabs stuff, she's crazy. She, you know, she's hyper, you know, in her match. Uh-huh. So she goes at him, and then she just keeps walking. Then she kind of rounds the corner around the ring, and then there's two kids, like maybe 12 years old. They also have the Sanity shirt, so she kind of looks at them too and stuff and blah, blah, blah. So she gets into the ring, has her match. She wins the match. She comes out. She's all crazy, like, you know, she yells a lot. She goes into those front of those two kids. She grabs the railing, and she shakes the railing, you know, like, making noise and stuff. She comes and comes around on our side. She stops in front of my friend, and she's facing him. She's like, "Urgh!" She grabs him by the shirt, and she's pulling out his shirt, like.
That just made his millennium.
And I'm like, "Holy shit!" And then she keeps going and stuff. Then she leaves, and I turn around and look at my friend. He's got this smile on his face. That's like, "Dude, are you okay?" He's like, "Yeah." He says, "I really needed that." And then I go, "Do you need a cigarette?" He's like, "I think I do."
Right on.
Oh, but he got molested by Nikki Cross. That was awesome.
Right on. Yeah. Yeah.
And who wouldn't like to be molested by that?
Oh,
that's right.
God. It was so much fun. Right. We had so much fun.
Yeah. They can touch you, but don't you touch them.
Yeah. Yeah. You cannot touch them, but they can do it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So that was a lot of fun. So back to the metal. I have a few things. Been listening to a few of the promos that we've been sent today. Now, mind you, I listened to about a song on each, so I can't get too deeply into stuff. But the new Primitive Man sounds like it's going to be friggin' awesome.
Mm-hmm.
The album is called Caustic. Exhumed, same thing. The album Death Revenge, which Matt is our guest today. It sounds like it's pretty goddamn amazing. What else? Narcotic Wasteland, which is the band of Dallas Toler Wade, formerly of Nile. Dude, it's like it's Nile still, except without the Egyptian overtones, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It is so fucking technical. Oh my god, it's like it blows the mind. I don't know how the guy does vocals and play what
he and does. That
yeah. It's friggin' amazing, dude. So there's that. And you were talking about Aaron, you were talking about Let There Be Talk with Dean Del Rey.
Yeah.
I guess you haven't listened to the latest episode because you didn't mention it, but he had Mark Weiss on, and he is a rock and roll photographer from, from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and he's still working today. So super interesting interview because he goes through the whole thing, how he started, how he became a rock and roll photographer. And it was just, you know, it's so interesting to find out how he got into the business, you know. So,
oh, that's cool.
I definitely would listen to that if you get a chance. He's got stories about Motley Crue, Twisted Sister, because he shot the album cover for Stay Hungry.
Oh, that guy. Okay.
Yeah, he shot that.
So I'm like, I know the name was familiar, but I didn't know why. Okay.
Yeah, he goes on it's Mark Weiss, and sometimes he signs Weiss Guy.
Oh, that makes sense.
And he says how he got the name. Mick Mars gave him the name. He talks about that. He talks about Guns N' Roses because he's shot Guns N' Roses several times, you know. And it's so interesting. And the way he got into the business is so random, and it's just accidental. You guys won't believe it. And I won't spoil it because it's definitely an interview that people should listen to, especially if you're interested in rock photography. It's just a great fucking interview. And the last thing, Talk Is Jericho. He had recently had Steel Panther on, And, and dude, that was a hoot, because I guess Jericho, the Fozzy, played a festival where Steel Panther was playing, and he's already friends with those guys. So he had the whole band on the interview, but the band members keep coming in and leaving during the interview. So it's never the same guys throughout the whole thing. And then there's a guy from another band that walks in, and you know, it's just insane. But at one point, mm-hmm. just for fun, one guy starts singing a song from, I think, was it Queen? No, the Eagles. And they just all start harmonizing. And dude, it was good. And just, this is just like out of the blue, off the cuff. You know?
That's awesome.
Oh my right God. On. And just, you know, so then they were joking how they were going to be, they're going to have a tribute band to the Eagles and called it the Bald Eagles. And then each guy's going to have a different bald haircut.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
So, you know, it was pretty cool, man. It was, it was a really, really fun interview. So definitely, definitely check it out if you get a chance. So
yeah, I'll listen to that. I'm very picky with my, like, some of these podcasts about who I listen to and all that. Like, it's, you know, and Jericho's podcast is one of them. I'll just kind of cherry pick different episodes, but mm-hmm. I think that one I can give a moment of my time. Yeah.
It's just funny. It starts off with Lexi, you know, the bass player. He starts mm-hmm. off and telling this story about how before he got into music, he was working in a warehouse that sold stuff to these whistles, you know, that you put on your car that scare off deer and moose and all that. And, oh, yeah. he never finished the story. He starts telling the story, then everybody jumps in, and he never finishes the story. And then at the end, he tries to finish it again, but he can't, because the guys just keep interrupting him. It's pretty funny. So that's all I have.
Right on. I'm gonna check that out. I got a metric shitload of a metal fix here, but I got a really cool tune I want to get into, and I'm eager to get on with tonight's creature feature. But I do want to say, I finally got a chance to see the legendary Agent Orange.
Cool.
Punk rock band from the 80s. Yeah, they're the
I really like that band. Man,
if they were before your time, or you weren't into them at the time, or because you were all just straight metal or whatever, Agent Orange, that's the type of band that you at least heard of them. You knew who they were. You saw them in the magazines and all that. And it's just, it was a band I wanted to see as a teenager. They just never made their way up into my neck of the woods. Last year, they finally did. And I can't remember, for one reason or another, I wasn't able to make it. I'm like, no, like, you remember... You know, Rock, I'm always saying on the show, when a band, you're a secondary market, and a band mm-hmm. comes through your town, you got to go because you don't know.
Yeah, you never know if they're going to come back.
I honestly thought I was going to miss my – I missed my window. I missed my shot and all that. But then they announced they were coming back. It's like, okay, fuck, I'm not going to miss
– Yeah,
I'm not going to miss them this time around. And it was a fantastic night. And it was on a Monday.
Oh, wow.
I cannot stress, like, everyone, like, is like, oh, Monday, I hate Monday, it's after the weekend. Turn Monday into something, you know what I mean? Like, go to a movie Monday night, go to a concert, go out with your buddies, go do something stupid, fuck your brains out all night, do something on a Monday, make it yours, and that's exactly what I did, like, with the show. It was absolutely amazing.
Which one?
Agent Orange.
Oh, no, I didn't know. Like, you listed all those things. I didn't know if you were fucking your brains out, seeing a movie.
Oh, anything. Well, I took in Agent Orange, but
now, while watching the movie and fucking your brains out, like, all three of those?
Why not?
That'd be pretty cool.
I don't know. I'm going to be watching some movies tonight. Let's see. I don't know. Maybe I can squeeze both of those.
Around.
There we go. You betcha. One of the weirdest things that kind of happened at this Agent Orange show is at the club called the Windsor, who I've talked about many times. Before the night kind of kicked in, okay, I'm already about half a bottle of Lemmy's in and went in to use the facilities and all that. There's a guy playing the bagpipes in the bathroom, like legit bagpipes. And it's like, okay, I'm at a punk show. You know, nothing phases me. All right. thought nothing of it. You know, like, okay, you know,
a little while later.
No, but a Dropkick Murphy type band, Flatfoot 56, was one of the support acts. Sure enough, this guy with the bagpipes steps up on the stage and starts killing it on the pipes. And I just look over at my buddy Dustin, and it's like, well, that makes sense now.
I
wasn't hallucinating. There was a guy in the bathroom. Bagpipes.
So I guess he was warming up in the bathroom, I guess.
He was.
I love bagpipes, man.
They can be cool.
They can be cool.
You use them the right way, for sure.
Yep.
For sure. And as the Agent Orange said, is winding down. He's like, okay, we're going to do a sing-along here. Okay, well, this isn't really the type of band that does shit like this, but okay, maybe they're getting onto something. So everyone, if you know the lyrics to this, sing along. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy. And I'm like, I had a kid, okay? I know this song. I sang this song to my daughter all the time when she was growing up. I know this song. So I sang along to that song, and then they broke into the song This Land Is My Land.
Okay.
And they actually used the Canadian version.
There's a Canadian version?
There's a Canadian version, yeah, where they just take stuff from Canada and switch it up with the American stuff and all that.
Oh, this Canadian bacon is your Canadian bacon.
That's right.
Syrup is mine. Maple syrup.
That's
this moose is your moose. This moose is my moose.
yeah.
This red and black flannel is mine. This red and black flannel is yours.
Yeah. This Timmy Ho's coffee was made for you and me, man. Which I got a damn fine cup of coffee in my Pantera mug right now, as we speak. So it was a hell of a night. I wish I hadn't slept on it. I actually would have loved an Agent Orange interview, but well.
At least you saw them. That's the important thing.
Oh, man. For sure.
I'm with you, especially now that I've moved to. I don't even feel we're a secondary market. I think we're like a fourth or fifth. Anything that comes through here, I'm diving on. I'm like, okay, I've got to make sure I go. Like, Henry Rollins is coming back in January, and I'm like, yeah, I think I need to make sure I see that. Yeah.
You do. You know? You do.
I mean,
yeah.
I see him every chance I get, but I'm like, I don't want to. I want to be like, Henry, just please keep coming back, please. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But, dude,
yeah.
That's awesome.
And that's actually a show that I can take Mrs. White to. Like, yeah, she's not – it's not like she's a big Black Flag or Rollins Band fan, but she can sit and listen to Henry Rollins or Jello Biafra just go on all night. And she has. She has gone with me, so that's – it's good stuff. I got a really cool record across my desk that I'm going to jump into right now, and that's the comeback record from Iron Monkey. Okay, Relapse is putting out their latest record, 9/9/13, which this was a cool sludge band. Oh, my God, their last record came out almost 20 years ago. Relapse has since re-signed them, put out a really cool record. And before we get on with tonight's creature feature, I want to drop that record. This is the new Iron Monkey with Crown of Electrodes.
Yeah.
for tonight's creature feature, and bearing in mind it's that time of year, it's the Halloween season, and it's Friday the 13th, and it's like, okay, we really need an appropriate guest for tonight's creature feature. I'm like, okay, who do we get? Well, we recently had Guar on already. They would be appropriate, but okay, we're going to have to pass on that. So as I'm going about my business, I'm getting tonight's episode together. Phone rings. Okay. Hey, Snowy Baby on the other end. Oh, okay. Obviously, this is someone from the industry. Okay. Fine. This individual goes on, yeah, you're probably looking for a creature feature for tonight's episode. Sure. Yeah, okay. Well, I got my man, Alice Cooper, on. You know, he wants to come on the show. It's Halloween. This is his time of year. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I kind of get it. But look, just tell Vince that just to cool his jets, we'll get him on when we want. Because quite frankly, for tonight's creature feature, we have none other than the one and only Matt Harvey from the mighty Exhumed, which is totally more than appropriate. Kick-ass new record, Death Revenge, out now as we speak. Yesterday on Friday the 13th from our good friends at Relapse Records. Now here on this show, Mr. Harvey needs no introduction. He's been on the show many times. As a matter of fact, he's been neck and neck with a good friend of ours, Corey Thomas, he's been on the show many times. No stranger to this show, and everything all kind of fell into place. And considering Mr. Harvey is such a good friend of this show, I could not think of anyone that I would want even more than him to help us celebrate our 11th anniversary.
Yes.
Before we get to that, though, I'm totally stoked. Rock, you were saying how great the new record was. I'm totally stoked as well for the new Exhumed record, Death Revenge. Take us into our chat with Mr. Harvey. Let's drop the first single. This is Defenders of the Grave.
We'll be right back. first and foremost, Matt, we definitely have to start off with the fact that your new record, Death Revenge, is coming out as we speak in just a couple of days on Friday the 13th during the Halloween season, okay, the month of October. So first and foremost, I got to say, like, dude, was this planned or was this just a happy accident? Because, man, this is something I know that you would come up with.
Well, you know, we were shooting for an October release, but I mean, I would never look at the calendar that far ahead and Relapse hit me up and they said, well, you know, there's a Friday the 13th in October. And I was like, well, fuck, that's a no-brainer, man. Of course. Duh. So it's, you know, what somebody that gets paid a lot more than me would probably call it a synergistic marketing opportunity, you know, where it just sort of comes together nicely. And it was the perfect release date, man. We were very stoked.
Right on, because I know that you're kind of a horror fanatic, obviously. I guess, you know, just anyone that knows you for more than 10 minutes and knows the band, they can definitely say, oh, yeah, I can totally understand that. Yeah.
Yeah, it worked out quite nicely this time.
Yeah, and don't ever change, dude. Don't ever change. There's some sort of concept or idea behind the new record, is there not?
Yes, it is a true concept album in that it tells a story about the Birkenhair murders, which happened in, I believe, 1828 in Edinburgh, Scotland. And it's a lightly fictionalized version of what went down, but it's a pretty interesting story. And it was a story that was a little bit too big for, you know, one song, so I just, you know, kind of ended up being a concept record, and it was a lot of fun to kind of do something that was completely conceptual as opposed to what we've done in the past, which has been more, you know, compartmentalized song by song kind of thing. So it was really cool. And it's a very cool macabre, you know, historical event that fit well with what we already do. So
right, for sure. As an artist tackling a project like this, does it differ from, just like you said, compartmentalizing different songs or whatever? Is it different writing a concept or just maybe 10 individual songs? Like, how do you approach it?
It was definitely different. You know, writing the songs kind of song by song was not so different, but, you know, just to give you an idea, we wrote 14 songs for the record. There's 10 that are actually on the record, because those are the 10 that sort of fit the narrative. It was just a whole new kind of set of considerations to take into account, you know. Now, the biggest thing was that obviously the songs had to be in a certain order, you know, you can't really tell a story out of order, at least not as a rock concept album. That's too complicated. Maybe, you know, that's like for like the, you know, the Beckett's and the James Joyce's of the world. But what we were doing required a pretty strict narrative. So that really determined, you know, because the lyrics had to go in a certain order. So that kind of determined which order the songs musically would go in. And, you know, you try to find, you know, elements in the song that kind of evoke what the lyrics are about, you know? So that was kind of challenging, you know? And also we came up with some, because we wanted it to feel like a horror movie or a horror story, we came up with some film score type parts that we interspersed, you know, the intro and the, there's a couple other interludes on side two. So that was a whole other set of compositional, you know, challenges as well, writing for, you know, I mean, not like we got an orchestra to perform it, obviously, we can't afford that, but writing for those instruments, you know, as opposed to just writing a rock song. So it's, it was definitely pretty elaborate, you know, and not only just the writing process, but putting the album together became much more of it just became much more detail oriented, because we had a guy named Lucas Ruggieri that did illustrations for each song to go in the booklet. We had the album cover done by Orion Landau, And of course, we had the symphonic pieces produced somewhere else, and then we recorded the band somewhere else, and just getting making sure everything was constructed correctly from the beginning, so that when we got all the pieces in place, we could shove them together and form a complete puzzle. So it was really challenging, and it was really fun, you know. And I think we did a pretty decent job, and I'm happy with. So. You know, hopefully people dig it, you know, because it was a lot of fucking work.
No doubt. And you being a big horror fanatic and all that, and this being a concept record, is there some day down the line maybe a Death Revenge 2, or am I just overthinking this?
Well, because it's based on a true story, there's not really an appropriate sequel. There was a similar case. The Birkenhead murders were committed in Edinburgh, and there was a similar case in London that happened around the same time frame. And we looked at actually covering that because, like I said, we have these four other songs that we're going to do an EP with, and we thought, oh, maybe we'll tackle this. And it just had the story beats were so similar that it would have been repetitive, you know.
Right.
That said, I mean, if this goes over really well and everybody says it's our best album and starts, you know, buying the shit out of it, and, you know, we're selling tons of shirts and whatnot, I mean, I would be open to doing another concept album if the demand is there, you know. But right. We'll see what happens. But it would be a whole fresh ball of wax, a whole different kind of thing, you know.
Cool. Hopefully years from now, when everyone looks back on your career, they're going to see Death Revenge as like Matt Harvey's Abigail, perhaps.
We'll see. You know, I mean, obviously that's kind of the high watermark for this kind of, you know, metal horror concept album, you know, Abigail and Then is also fantastic, you know.
For sure.
But my favorite metal concept record, actually my favorite concept record period though, is Dimension Hatros by Voivod. That's just amazing, you know. Right. The narrative is totally bizarre and has nothing to do with what we do at all, but the music is just fucking incredible, like off the charts good.
Right on. And shout out to some good Canadian boys, eh?
I love me some Canadian metal, man. You guys, maybe not as prolific as, you know, the States or Europe, but there's a high concentration of some of my favorite bands up there. So
we got it going on. We got it going on for sure. what did you discover first? Heavy metal, hard rock, grind, punk, whatever you want to call it, or horror films? Like when you were a wee lad, like what did you find first?
I mean, I was exposed to, you know, I guess what would be considered like classic rock, you know, with the stuff my parents were listening to. There's always Cream and Hendrix and Jefferson Airplane and Savoy Brown. And, you know, my dad loved Santana, which I don't really care for, but I heard a lot of it when I was a kid, and the Allman Brothers and all that kind of stuff. But it wasn't like my music, you know, it was just sort of the background music to life. But I definitely discovered horror movies before I discovered metal. I was, you know, maybe 9 or 10, I guess, when I started watching a lot of horror. You know, you start with like Nightmare on Elm Street or whatever. and then, you know, by the time I was like 10 or 11, it would move out to like Evil Dead 2 and Reanimator and stuff like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, I don't know exactly how young I was, but I remember the first time I saw Reanimator, and what's his name, Dr. Hill, puts his decapitated head between the young lady's legs.
Right.
And I remember I was so young that I was like, I don't know what you do with your face down there, but it seems really cool. Like, I didn't even know what that was, but I just thought, I was like, that's the coolest thing you could do. Wow. So, I mean, I had to be younger than 12.
Yeah. I was about 15 when Reanimator came out. 15,
okay.
15. Yeah.
And then, then once I, you know, discovered Metallica, and when I was, you know, I guess it was right after that, you know, maybe like 6 or 7 months later.
No.
Then I was like, you know, starting to kind of, there were, to me, there was a, I don't know, there was a kinship between the music and the vibe of horror movies. And then it became really explicit by the time I heard like Scream Bloody Gore, you know, in 1988. Obviously they got a fucking song called Evil Dead that's about Evil Dead, you know. And it was like, oh, this is like the musical equivalent of what I've been watching, you know. And bands like Rigor Mortis, their first record was a real big deal to me, you know, with the song Reanimator and Demons and all those horror movie based things. Wizard of Gore was on there. And so it just seemed that there was a natural link, you know. And so we kind of wanted to go back to sort of round and bring it back to the new record in a roundabout way. We wanted to go back to that original wellspring of inspiration from the first generation of death metal bands, because all they sang about, you know, if you read the lyrics for Necrophagia and Death and Possessed and bands like that, I mean, the only things that they really sang about was either horror movies or horror type themes or, you know, like Satanism. So I wanted to go back and do something that was like completely horror related only. And that's how we, you know, that's how we got here today.
The only problem being when you're at that age and you're just getting into extreme metal and horror movies, it's not much of a chick magnet. I found that out in a hurry.
Dude, you know, that's been the story of my life. And like every, you know, I've worked in comic book stores, I've worked in record stores, I've worked at record labels. And I'm like, dude, I've never had to worry about sexual harassment in the workplace because I've never worked with any fucking women. But I mean, I think, you know, a lot of it is really tied into that sort of, you know, that puberty and that overload of testosterone that you're getting at that time. You got so much pent up energy and, you know, you're also, of course, becoming an adolescent and learning that your parents are full of shit and the church is full of shit and school's full of shit and everything. So you're full of this sort of like hormone / anger, you know, teen angst thing. And, you know, metal and horror is like the perfect outlet for that, you know?
Oh, for sure. For sure, that's you probably just nailed my experience all through my teens right there.
I'm also a psychoanalyst, so I'm here to help. Don't worry about it.
Excellent. I'll take you up on that. The world discovered just how big of a horror fanatic you are recently by your contribution in Decibel magazine to the tribute to George Romero, who we recently lost. How did that come about?
I've known Albert for a long time, and he has always been very kind to my bands, even before there was a Decibel. And he used to write for the, I forget what the name of it now was, but it was a, you know, remember back in the day when record stores had their own in-house magazines, wrote for a record store's in-house magazine, and that was kind of how he got started or whatever. And so he was reviewing Exhumed back then, and I met him back then, and he's always been, you know, very kind to me, and I'm an okay writer for a guy that's a guitar player, you know, so he always likes to hit me up for some kind of written quote, you know, because at least I can spell correctly and you know, string together a sentence and stuff. I was supposed to be an English major in college, but I dropped out. And,
okay.
So, you know, when he told me they were doing a George Romero thing and would I be interested, of course, I was like, well, yeah, of course I would be interested, you know? So I just, you know, put some together and, you know, what I touched on in the piece is the thing that I like the most about Romero is that, yeah, I mean, it's cool zombie thing. And he kind of invented the zombie genre as we know it today or defined it. But I love the fact that he's always showing us something about ourselves. He's always holding a mirror up to society with his movies. And, you know, that's why to me, Dawn of the Dead is just my absolute favorite, because it's about consumerism and the sort of hollowing out of the spirit or the psyche of America. You know, that was going on as the dawn, at the dawn of the Reagan era, and has only just continued and gotten worse and worse and worse since then. So I thought it was just, you know, it's a great horror movie and it's full of cool effects and the zombies are scary and everything else. But the reason it sticks with me, that particular movie especially, is because of the underpinning social commentary. And I always admired that about Romero. You know, he was a very anti-establishment kind of director, and you know, I think that's really resonates with me personally, you know.
Oh, for sure, for sure. The man will definitely be missed.
Oh yeah.
You're a busy guy. You have lots of projects, as we've covered everything you do in the last 11 years on this episode, which, by the way, this episode that this is going to be aired on is our 11th anniversary episode. So you're kind of our guest of honor today. Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very kind.
Okay. I thought you'd like that. Yeah.
I appreciate it.
But with Exhumed, you know, with the new record and with everything that goes on, your Expulsion project with Matt Olivo is quite new with the Nightmare Future record. And, of course, what's going on with the Gruesome camp? You just put out an EP with them and you were busy with them. And it's just like it seems to be piling on and on. Like, is there only one Matt Harvey? Is there two, three, you know, like, who am I talking to, the real one or some Invasion of the Body Snatcher pod person here? Who am I talking to?
Well, you know, Expulsion, I can't really take too much credit for, because Matt Olivo is really the guy that's in the driver's seat in that band. He wrote all the music, and I just wrote the lyrics and stuff. So, I mean, to me, that's like a fucking vacation compared to like my normal band role as sort of main songwriter. We're working on some new Expulsion stuff. There's an EP that's in the works, and I'm going to be doing some demo vocals for that real soon at the house. With Gruesome, we just got the final pieces for the new album. There was just a couple of leads and extra little bits that hadn't been recorded yet, and those have just come in. So that record will start getting mixed in the near future. It's slated to be out before next summer, and that's kind of our spiritual healing, you know? Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I'm working on right now that I'm kind of is absorbing a lot of my attention is I have a traditional like heavy metal, like new wave of British heavy metal band called Pounder. We just signed a deal with Hell's Headbangers Records, and we're doing.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. So we're getting ready to record a full length album very soon. So, you know, it kind of goes in cycles where I'll be like writing and writing and writing and writing and writing, and it seems like nothing is coming out. And then this year has just been sort of, you know, following through with all the stuff that I've been composing over the last few years. You know, I did a soundtrack for a Canadian guy named Richard Lucas, who did a horror short film that actually won a couple of awards, not for soundtrack, but won a couple of other awards. So, you know, that's what I was working on last year. And the stuff for the Exhumed record has been written now for like over 16 or 17 months, you know, since I finished writing that. So when I finish something, I just move on to whatever the next thing that kind of like I'm interested in, you know, because by the time I finish writing something, I get tired of it. So I'm like, fuck, I just want to do something else that's not this, you know. But I want to keep working, you know. I don't want to just sit around and watch TV, because it's just, you know, I feel like now I'm in a position where I'm very fortunate as a musician to, if I have an idea, I can probably, you know, put together a band that is, you know, that will be able to execute it, and I can probably get someone to put out a record. So mm-hmm. I would be wasting my time if I wasn't following through, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess the way I look at it is, a lot of my favorite bands and my favorite records were made by guys that were like, you know, 22 or 18 or, you know, then 17, you know. You look at Left Hand Path, and I think the average age of those guys was 17. I know Chris Reifert was 17 when he recorded Scream Bloody Gore. So, clearly I'm 41 now. The time for me to be like a trailblazing accidental genius, that's well past, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to just sort of like strike gold, you know, magically. Mm-hmm. So all I've really got at this point is just my willingness to keep working, you know? And that's what I want to do. That's what I enjoy, you know?
Right on, right on. Well, we're really digging everything that you put out. And when the Pounder record comes out, dibs, I want you back on, dude. We're also good friends with Hell's Headbangers as well. So
awesome. Those are my boys. I've known them for
sure.
Ever. Since they were little kids. They're like 15 themselves.
Right on. Yeah. They've been around for a while. It's amazing what the brothers have done.
Yeah.
For sure.
I'm blown away by what they've done, and I'm super proud of them, man.
And speaking about our boys and all that, I want to wrap this up because I know you're a busy guy. I'm a busy guy, but thank you for everything. But speaking about our friends, you've been on this show multiple times. Probably more than anyone else.
Oh,
except I don't know. I got to go back to the old episodes and see who's been on more. Has it been Matt Harvey or my homeboy Corey Thomas up here, Winnipeg band member and all that, in Putrescence and Untimely Demise and all that? He's been in a number of projects, and it's neck and neck between you two.
I'm gonna get you, Corey. I'm gonna pass you up. I'm gonna put out as many records as it takes to get ahead of that guy.
There we go. That's what I wanted to hear. I guess it's just a matter of who gets tired of me first. Who knows?
Well, I'm excited to find out. I'm in.
Okay, excellent.
Okay, folks. Once again, thank you so much. We're going in extra innings here, but that's okay. It's a special night because, like we said, happy anniversary, everyone. We made it. This is, what did they say in Spinal Tap?
We're one louder.
Well, this episode is definitely one louder, shall we say. So once again, thank you for everything the last 11 years. It's really appreciated. And like I said, horns up to 11 more. In the meantime and in between time, that's it. This has been a vengeful, you get that now?
Nope.
Episode of Radio Death Revenge.
The name of the right. Now I got it.
Boo. This has been a vengeful episode of Radioactive Metal. I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
I'm Curry.
And this is Aaron.
And before we do get on out of here, I want everyone once again, as we mentioned last episode, to go on to Bandcamp, go to the Relapse Records section, and you can download their latest sampler. Give a donation to receive it, and all of that goes to the Rock to the Future charitable organization, which is all the money for that goes to underprivileged children in the Philadelphia area to get them into, you know, to help them out in their musical endeavors. It's a really good cause that Radioactive Metal is totally behind. Part of that sampler, Relapse Records, they reissued a whole whack of cool death albums, and one of them was Individual Thought Pattern. So we're going to go out on Death's Overactive Imagination, dedicated to every single one of you fuckers that donates to this compilation. So go check it out. I'm Snowy White. Da, 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 da. This is Death, Overactive Imagination, signing off. Yeah.
Visit us at radioactivemetal.org or go to iTunes for past episodes and write a review. Listen to us live every Thursday night on purerockradio.net. You can also listen to us on Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, Google Play, and all the other podcast aggregators. You can purchase the music featured in this episode by going to radioactivemetal.org and clicking on the episode link. Leave us a voicemail. We want to hear from you. Call 321-80-HEAVY or 321-804-3289. We may even play it on the show. Email us at radmetal666@gmail.com with suggestions or for indie spotlight submissions. Follow us at facebook.com/radmetal, twitter.com/radmetal666, and instagram.com/radioactivemetal. This has been a presentation of Radioactive Metal. It's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.